Tuesday, April 26, 2020. I'll read the mission statement to provide a sustainable quality of life through excellent and stewardship of government. City Clerk, please call the roll, please.
Bell?
Here.
Coleman?
Here.
Luby? We'll go to Ms. Luby again. Mr. Nicholson?
Here.
Robinson?
Present.
Tungo?
Here.
Ms. Luby?
I think she mentioned she may be traveling.
She's in Zoom. And she should be able to respond. Mr. Tudikoff?
Here. We do have a quorum. Please join us. Mr. Councilman Tungo will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Tungo. First item is mayoral proclamations. The first one, declaring May 1st to the 7th, 2022 Public Service Recognition Week. Recognition of Public Service Week in honor of the millions of public employees in the federal, state, county, borough, and city levels. Whereas Americans are served every single day by public servants at the federal, state, county, borough, and city levels. These unsung heroes do the work that keeps our nation and our communities working. And whereas public employees take not only jobs, but take oaths and offer their dedication. And whereas many public servants, including police officers, communication officers, firefighters, harbor officers, healthcare professionals, and others protect the communities and risk their lives each day in service to the people of the United States around the world. And whereas public servants, including teachers, librarians, clerks, and administrators, project managers, and program coordinators, planners, and engineers, technicians and mechanics, and countless other occupations. Day in and day out, they provide the diverse service demanded by the American people of their government with efficiency and integrity. And whereas without these public servants, at every level, continuity would be impossible in a democracy that regularly changes its leaders and elected officials. Now, therefore, Vincent M. Tudy. May 1st to May 7th as Public Service Recognition Week. All citizens are encouraged to recognize the accomplishments and contributions of the government employees at all levels. I want to thank all the public service members in the community for what they do, and ask for a round of applause for them. Okay, thank you. My second proclamation is for the Professional Municipal Clerks Week. In recognition of Professional Municipal Clerks Week, whereas the Office of the Professional Municipal Clerk a time-honored and vital part of local government, exists throughout the world. And whereas the office of the professional municipal clerk is the oldest among public servants, and whereas the office of the professional municipal clerk provides the professional link between the citizens, the local governing bodies, and agencies of the government at other levels, and whereas professional municipal clerks have pledged to be ever mindful of their neutrality and impartiality regarding equal service to all, and whereas the professional municipal clerks serve as information center on functions of local government and community, and whereas the professional municipal clerks continually strive to improve the administration of the affairs of the office of the municipal clerk through participation in education programs, seminars, workshops, and annual meetings of their state, provincial, county, and international professional organizations, and whereas it is most appropriate that we recognize the accomplishments of the office of the professional municipal clerk. Now, therefore, Vincent M. Tugoff, Senior, Alaska, hereby recognize the week of May 1st through May 7th, 2022, and further extend appreciation.
You are unmuted.
Municipal clerks Margie Beter, to Deputy Clerk S. Carlin Magadong, and to all the municipal clerks for the vital service they perform and their exemplary dedication to the community that they represent. Thank you very much, City Clerks and City Clerks. All right, thank you. May I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda, please?
Move to adopt the agenda.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson, seconded by Councilman Nicholson. Are there any objection to adopting the agenda? Hearing no objection, the agenda is adopted. Next item, 7, approve the minutes of the previous meeting, April 11th, 2022 and April 12th, 2022. May I have a motion and a second to adopt and approve the proposed minutes of these meetings?
Move to approve minutes of previous meeting, April 11th, April 12th, 2022.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle, seconded by Councilman Nicholson. Are there any objections to adopting the minutes of April 12th and April 11th? Hearing no objection, the proposed minutes are approved. Item 8, City Manager Report. And I'll turn it over to JR.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council Members. The City Manager Report is before you. And I just had one note to add, and that was to do it. And that was regarding the cost-benefit analysis of Captain's Bay Road. HDR will be starting on the utilities portion soon. They've been focusing the past few weeks on the grants that was applicable to the roads portion of the cost-benefit analysis. And they're turning their focus now over to utilities and may be able to help to assist with grants as well. So let me know if you have any questions.
Okay. Continue, please.
Or not?
No. Thanks. Continue, JR. You had any more comments? Any questions for JR on his city manager report? Councilman Robinson.
It's not on the city manager report, but I asked about this earlier, and it's regarding the numerous vehicles parked at the Carly Moses that don't have, you know, I mean, the floats could have been empty, and there's just cars lined up from all over. And you've got one that's got a fallen down junk on it. It's getting scattered all over the place. Is there anything, any headway in taking care of those and getting that cleaned up? You know, I lease a space down there, and I try to get to the dock, and I'm, you know, like, have to park, you know, 100 feet away just because of vehicles that are just sitting there. Is there anything being done about that?
Chief King, can you be able to respond?
Good evening, Council, Mayor. This is Director King. DPS is working with ports. We've identified a list of vehicles that have a various set of defects, such as expired tags, flat tires, cargo boxes falling off of them, scattering debris around the area. Currently, we've broken that list down into some vehicles that definitely are going to be moved by this weekend. Thursday and Friday, we're looking at starting the first set of removals. There's a couple of vehicles that we're trying to clarify if they belong to people that are out at sea and need to remain on property, and other vehicles we're actually trying to determine if they actually meet some of the state statute as far as nuisance or abandoned vehicles. So we are working on that.
Great, thanks. We did that once before, and we need to be careful because the fishermen here, they pay our bills. So we don't want to get out ahead. We had a vehicle that actually from the Scandies Rose of Jerry Coben, we took and impounded in there, and it was getting scheduled to get destroyed. We want to be careful we don't cross that line again. So thank you for checking for the vessels that are out at sea and the vessels that are the vehicles that are tied to actual folks that are utilizing the facility. So
yes,
thanks for that.
Communications was making contact with the registered owner for several vehicles, and they were identified by that registered owner as being associated to a vessel that's out to sea. Some people were just off island and left their vehicle parked there, and they plan on moving it when they return. So we're encouraging everyone to fix the deficiencies and our contact ports to make arrangements to have the vehicle remain there without being towed.
No, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Robinson. Any further questions for JR? Comments on his report? All right, thanks, JR. Okay, we'll move on to item 9, community input and announcement. This is a time for members of the public to provide information to the council or make announcements of interest to the community. Please come to the podium, use the microphone, state your name, and everyone gets 3 minutes. And the council will not engage with your dialogue.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. Council, got a couple things for you. Missoula's in town. The play will be called, it's going to be Johnny Appleseed. We have two showings on Saturday, one at 4, one at 6:30 at the high school gym. We'd like you all to come and enjoy the students and people that are there doing the play. The second item is that on the 1st through the 14th, it's our community cleanup. It's a chance for everybody to get out there and clean up our community. Spring cleaning, if you will, make it beautiful for the summer. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Hey there, Associate Planner Thomas Rufos. We have a notice from the Army Corps of Engineers. The Restoration Advisory Board meeting is going to be held on May 4th here in the council chambers, and it is starting at 6 o'clock, ends roughly around 8 o'clock. There will be a Zoom link. It is posted in the post offices. There's a copy out on our board here in the City Hall, and we will be putting a copy up online as well. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Nope. Does anyone have any written comments submitted, or does anybody on the phone or Zoom?
No, sir.
Okay. Okay.
Hi, I'm Anfisa Tidyukov. I'm the camp director of Camp Canayo for this year. I was here last year as well. And my comment is that, you know, we have to remember that Camp Canayo is not just about one individual person or peoples. It's about putting together a camp for our community, for our youth, for the sharing of our traditions and culture. I understand that the budget on there is fairly high, and if you got a chance to take a look at that, the reason why we're asking for more funding than previous years is because this is not just, we're hoping to extend it throughout the year, so it's not a one-time activity. We hear a lot that these kids, you know, want to participate in this. They're very excited in this opportunity during the summer. If we can bring it to a year-round basis and share that with other funding sources that we're going after, we can offer more opportunities after school and, you know, share the knowledge of our ancestors with our community. Last year, I thank you all. Thank you to the City of Onalaska for providing the funding that they did. I just hope that you will consider giving, or we'll be happy with whatever you give us, is what I'm trying to say. So thank you for your time, and let me know if we have any questions more about Camp Canayo. I'll be happy to answer.
Thank you, I appreciate that. We'll have probably questions when we get to that point in the meeting. Thank you. There was no one on Zoom or telephone, so we'll move on.
Excuse me? Hello?
Yeah, hold on. Who is this? Please state your name and got 3 minutes.
My name is Lois Burris. I used to be a mentor at Camp Canayo. And I just wanted the City of Onalaska to know that how important our camp is, and to, if they would please continue supporting it. And I was one of the mentors, and one of my students is now, you know, a teacher, and that was the camp goal, is for the mentors to teach the kids there to become teachers. And this is a good example how good the camp is doing. And it's I love seeing the people, the kids, how excited they get to be able to, you know, be a part of camp. And then when Moses was given, you know, Aleut names to the kids, and so much pride was in their eyes, you know, and they'd tell people about it. And it's a good project, and I hope, you know, it's Onalaska. Onalaska's Aleut people, or it used to be. And I would like to, you know, keep seeing that going. And I really appreciate any help that the city can give the tribe. Thank you.
Thank you. Then we'll move on. Next is a public comment on agenda items. This is time for members of the public to provide information to the council regarding items on the agenda. If they don't want to wait until the item comes up at their regular agenda time, comment later during the regular agenda, you need to sign up with the city clerk. Please come to the podium, use the microphone, state your name. Everyone gets 3 minutes, and the council will not engage with you. Does anyone wish to speak on the agenda items? Agenda. Anyone on phone or Zoom? Okay. Our next item, 11, is the consent agenda, on which there are three items listed in the agenda. Absent a request by a council member to move one or more items to the regular agenda for discussion, the consent agenda is adopted without discussion and with a single vote. The titles of the consent agenda items are Resolution 2022-12, approving scholarships to be awarded to graduating seniors in Unalaska City High School. And item two, Resolution 2022-17, approving the mayor's appointment of Jill Spetz to the Parks, Culture, and Recreation Committee. Item three, Resolution 2022-18, authorizing the city manager to approve an amendment to Tell Alaska's existing lease on Lear Road. May I have a motion and a second to adopt the consent agenda?
Move to adopt the consent agenda.
Second.
Move by Councilman Coleman, and second by Councilman Robinson. Roll call, please.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Okay, on a roll call vote of 6-0, the consent agenda items have been approved. We are now on the regular agenda. Persons wishing to speak on the regular agenda items must sign up with the city clerk. 3 minutes time limit per person. First item A under 12 is 2022-06, first reading, creating a budget amendment number 4 to fiscal year 2022 budget. May I have a motion to introduce the ordinance 2022-06 and schedule for a public hearing and a second reading on May 10th, 2022.
I move to adopt ordinance 2022-06 and schedule it for second reading and public hearing on May 10th, 2022.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson, second by Councilman Nicholson. I'll turn this over to Assistant City Manager, J.R.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and council members. This budget amendment will recognize $897,566 in ARPA grant revenue, increase ARPA expenditures, $97,556, and the water capital projects budget by $800,000. Appropriate $50,539 from general fund for the purchase of a vote tabulator and install a new fire system at Burma Road Chapel. Appropriate $1.1 million from the electric utility funds net position, and decrease the McCushion geothermal project by $1.85 million. Staff supports this budget amendment, and city manager supports staff's recommendation as well. Jim's on the line. Jim Sharp is on the line if you have any questions.
Any comments or questions for JR on ordinance 2022-06? Councilman Coleman?
Yes, thank you. The fire alarm system is sole sourced. To have that fixed, could you please explain to me why it was sole sourced?
Is Comco owner, are you on the line?
Yeah, Mayor and Council, yes, I'm online. Go ahead. And the audio is kind of cutting. The audio is cutting in and out. So if you could repeat the question, please.
Yes, thank you. I read that the project for the fire alarm system was sole sourced. Could you please explain to me why it was done that way?
I'm terribly sorry. The audio keeps cutting in and out, but your question was regarding the fire alarm panel and its and the age. Was it the age of the existing one?
No, the fact that it was sole sourced.
Oh, yeah, I could address that. We typically have our CMT Fire has been doing all of our alarm work here. There are the source that we've been using for all our different systems, and they've proven to be the best provider so far that we've been able to find.
And has that money already been, what I understand, is that money already, it's already been done, it's already been spent?
Actually, no, it's not, the money has been encumbered but not spent. The fire alarm control panel parts are on order. We've been having trouble getting those to the island. So the system is not completely installed and up and running as of yet.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Coleman. Any other comments, questions? Councilman Robinson?
Yeah, just a comment. Sole sources. I have a problem with when we're spending public money. I probably share some concern with that, with Councilmember Coleman on that. But we need, you know, we have limits of what we can sole source and what we can't, and we need to start following those. Just a comment. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Robinson? Anyone else? Councilman Luby, any questions?
No questions.
Okay, thank you. City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir.
Thank you. Motion was to adopt. Move ordinance 2022-06, first reading, creating a capital budget amendment number 4 to the fiscal year of 2022 budget. Hearing no further comments, I'll request a roll call vote.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Tingle?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
On a roll call vote of 6 yeas and 0 nays, ordinance 2022-06 passed the first reading. The next item on our agenda is 12B. Resolution 2022-13, establishing the rate of levy on assessed property within the city of Unalaska for fiscal year 2023. May have a motion and a second to adopt resolution 2022-13.
Move to adopt resolution 2022-13.
I'll second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, second by Councilman Robinson. I'll turn this over to the acting city manager.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor and council members. This resolution establishes the rate of levy on assessed property within the city of Unalaska for the upcoming fiscal year. Unalaska City Code the section 6.28.010B provides that council shall annually by resolution establish the rate of levy on assessed property within the city. The annual rate of levy shall be determined before June 15th. By adopting resolution 2022-13, council will set the rate of levy, also referred to as the millage or mill rate for FY23. A staff recommends the adoption of resolution 2022-13, and city manager supports the staff's recommendations. A mill rate increase does not appear to be necessary at this time, but one may be warranted in the years to come in order to cover the cost of operations and maintain existing levels of service. Any questions?
Councilman Robinson.
So, generally in the past, we've gone through the appeal process for property tax owners to appeal and hear their appeals, and for the assessor to come out with that assessor before we set the mill rate. I don't feel comfortable in setting this. We have until June 15th to set this mill rate. And we have until May 10th to get all the final appeals in. Now, we've seen from the assessor's report and back in February that we have a lot of the commercial and industrial properties increasing by 50 to 93%. That's going to hurt some businesses. Our residential assessment rates are increasing by roughly 15% on the max. And until those appeals are done, I think we should postpone this to better figure out what mill rate we're going to have to set, as we look further into the budget. That's my feeling. I'd like to hear some more from the council, but I'm inclined to drop that mill rate to buffer some of the hurt that 50 to 93% is going to put on our industry. And, it's not going to alleviate it totally, but it's going to buffer it. I just don't want to see that kind of expense put on the businesses here. Because when they get higher costs to operate, that just gets passed on to everybody else that's operating here. We all know that our cost of living is like astronomical. Our fuel is up, groceries are up, and now property taxes. I mean, that's the one thing the council can control. And I think due to the fact that we're going to see increased sales tax strictly because of increased fuel prices that don't appear to be going to go down anytime soon, the increase in the cost of goods sold, we're going to see a lot higher revenues from sales tax. But this is one area that we can give some kind of a relief to the taxpayers, in Unalaska here. But like I said, at this point, I'd be inclined to support a postponement of this, setting this mill rate, until such time as we get closer to the budget being set. Thanks.
Did I mention something? Mr. Mayor and council members, the deadline for appeals was yesterday, and I believe we received 25 appeals. Is that correct? So that information will be coming, as well as what the appeals consist of.
Yeah, the Board of Equalization is May 10th. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so those are appeals that weren't settled by the assessor. Is that correct? The 25 appeals will come before the BOE and not settled by the assessor, right?
If I may. those appeals were received as of the deadline yesterday, and our assessors, Mike Renfro and Martins Unschoolis, are working to getting those settled first. So, and so we don't have a definite number yet as to what number of appeals will go to the actual Board of Equalization. So we'll hear from them once they have that number, and then when they can schedule a trip here.
So I'm still inclined to postpone the setting of the mill rate until such time as we know. The problem that the assessor's office is going through is they have to adhere to state law, and state law says that property taxes shall be assessed at fair market value, an amount equal to fair market value, and we can't deviate. We can't deviate from state law. We saw a situation where the city of Onalaska, the city council, took it on themselves to deviate from what the assessor was required to, which caused the assessor to have to sue us, and we ended up turning it around, the erroneous action that the council took to straighten that out. So, like I said, I'm still inclined to postpone this until such time as we know how many of those appeals, because it's likely not a whole lot of them are going to be settled, and if they're not settled with the assessor's office, they're more than likely not going to be able to be settled by the city council. And that is why I want to see the total number of appeals that are, you know, that get worked out, and know that what a number that we're actually seeking in the budget. Because $8.7 million, you know, this year, if we keep it at 10.5 mills, it's not right. You know, we're just at February alone in this fiscal year, we were at $7.1 million. So we need to, I'm done.
Yeah, you're talking yourself into a circle. Councilman Tungo, then Councilman.
So out of those 22 appeals, how many are residential, commercial, and industrial? You guys, any idea?
Luke Karen's looking it up.
So we have a total of 23 appeals. 17 are commercial.
It is concerning. I got a lot of call from a lot of commercial and industrial businesses together, as same thing as some residential. With the market value raising up, because we got to catch up, we're really below on our end to make it fair. To make it and follow the state guidelines. So the only way we can kind of help them out is, I think it's this mill rate going down now by percentage. So I think I'm kind of agreeing with Councilman Robinson and take a look at it and give him a little bit of break and kind of raise it up as yearly goes by and check this mill rate as year goes by. So I won't be supporting this too. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Tungo. Councilman Bell?
Yeah, I'm going to speak along the same lines as Councilman Robinson. You know, the state law sets how the process of the assessment goes, but what it doesn't really address real well is large spikes in assessed value, whether it's up or down. And we have an opportunity here to kind of take the sting out of this big spike in assessed values by taking a hard look at what we set the mill rate at. And so mostly for those reasons, I think I'll support Mr. Robinson and if we propose a motion to postpone. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Nicholson?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I as well will be
following suit with Mr. Robinson. I think that lowering the mill rate would be beneficial to all the businesses that we have in the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Nicholson. Councilman Luby?
Yeah, I also agree. I think we need to postpone and we need to look at it a little closer. I think we need to really look at what, you know, what do we need for revenues, and if we can lower that mill rate would make a huge difference, I think, on a lot of our residents and our businesses. And, you know, like Councilman Robinson said, it's, you know, these things just get passed on from the businesses onto the community members. So it just hurts the community, and our costs are going up so much. So we have an opportunity to actually help the community here, I think, with this. So I think it does need some time to actually assess it. So I'll be in support of postponement. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Luby. Councilman Coleman?
This revenue source set the way it is in the current budget is not enough to make up the spending that we have for this current year. So I will support a postponement, but currently I'm not likely to change the mill rate from what it is, seeing our budget the way it is projected. So that's why we have that source. So lower that source, you're going to have to find another revenue source to make up for it or cut our expenses. So that's, but I would support, I don't know, I would have to ask Mr. Pearson, what is postponing this due to administration's ability to get the budget in order for the first coming reading?
Mr. Sharp, are you on the line? Let's see if you can provide some insight.
While we're waiting, we're having a Board of Equalization training on May 3rd, and then May 10th, we'll have the actual Board of Equalization.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question. Again, the audio is cutting in and out this evening.
So could you rephrase your question, Ms. Coleman?
So it's suggested that we postpone setting the mill rate, mainly because of the assessments coming up and the outcomes of that. I would like to know what that would does for staff and their scheduling of the actual budget to be presented to council, and if that's going to pose any problems.
Well, so tonight on the agenda, we have the school support and we have the CNMP. Those are the final two components to wrapping up the budget preparation, dropping in the estimated expenditures associated with those. So, you know, in terms of, you know, adjusting a revenue line item late in the process is going to, depending on the magnitude of that adjustment, it could have a fairly significant impact on where our budget is and what adjustments need to be made, considering we've already gone through a tremendous process in talking to the various departments to have them really look at their budgets carefully to make sure that they can cut as much as they can. And a lot of the feedback that we have received is there really isn't much more to cut.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman. Councilman Robinson.
Yeah, well, I'll make a motion to postpone this till May 17th, special meeting to be called on May 17th to set the mill rate. I'll make that motion to postpone this resolution to May 17th, sorry.
I second that.
There's been a motion to postpone Resolution 2022-13 establishing the rate of levy on assessed property to May 17th. Moved by Councilman Robinson and seconded by Councilman Tungle. No discussion on the item. Roll call vote.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
And roll call vote, it's 6-0. The motion to postpone has been approved. It'll come up on the next special meeting on May 17th. Our next item, Resolution 2022-14, establishing the sum to be made available for the community support and capital grants from the City of Unalaska to the applicants for the community support for fiscal year 2022. May I have a motion and a second to adopt Resolution 2022-14?
Move to adopt 2022-14.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson and seconded by Councilman Nicholson. I'll turn this over to the acting city manager. And Bill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. Have Director Bill Humpke here to discuss this resolution with you.
What you need?
No.
Good evening, everyone. So last week, initially the grant request for the community support grant program, and as usual, it exceeded the amount that's available, this time by quite a bit. We attempted to do our typical resend spreadsheets home. I got results back from all but one council person, and I think if you can pull up that sheet for me, Ms. Karen. Nothing has changed. I will confess one of our grant recipients caught that the wrong sheet had been put in for USAFE. I have the right sheet for the programming. It's the same amount. It's just how they'll load the money. And it's the same program, but I have the correct sheet if you're interested in seeing that. We won't point fingers at who didn't give us a response, but the name starts with the letter N, 2-3 columns over. So what's not in here is the $88,000 for the tobacco tax. As you see, everything else that's here, we have the 3.5% cap. That's also including the money from the bed tax. So the total amount per our formula that you use as a guide every year is $1,226,422. The total amount of the requests from the organizations this year is $1,785,195. And you can look along the bottom there, and there are several caveats, I guess I would put, that aren't showing up on here, but I have in your recommendations. And the two main ones are that the Fisherman's Memorial would be funded outside of this program. I think that was your intent when you discussed it, you know, months ago. It was Aaron Reinders and I decision to put it in this program, so it receive the same gauntlet of review that all the other nonprofits receive. And there was some different notes about how to fund the Q Tribe. All, nothing, move it out, put it for discussion later, etc. So at this point in our discussion, what we typically have done for the last, I want to say this will be the fourth year, is we put up the spreadsheet. It's live. So if you all have some discussion amongst yourself. We can actually change numbers up there. You can see where they come in at the total for the FY23 award in column K. And I can say this has gone somewhat smoothly every year. I think the past 2 years, I know that we've done this, the two that have come away with less than what they requested has been IFHS as well as the Q Tribe. And minus ASFA or the Fisherman's Memorial, which are new this year, all the others have typically been funded in full, just to remind you that, and that is in the notes. So be happy to take any questions that you may have before I go into the auctioneer mode, if that's what we prefer.
All right, thanks, Bill. Confusing. Anyone else wants to try it? Any questions, comments on their numbers? Councilman Robinson?
Well, I'd like to see the Burning Man be a one-time grant out of the general fund. Our ordinance says that the entities in this will be nonprofit. I would like, I don't want to cut the Q Tribe off completely. Fund them this year, and not at the rate they requested. That's a little too hard, too fast, without knowing what kind of program is going to be there. And see if they can get the 501c3 status, just due to the fact that they can access a lot more individuals from that people would be happy and not people, but I'm talking about companies will be happy to give them money as a 501c3 and get the tax benefit that whereas, for instance, Raven tickets. Raven won't do it because they don't get a write-off from it. The 501c3 status gives them that ability to be written off for the other companies, therefore opening the door for more money for the tribe. I think the cultural camp is important. I would like to see it, but I would also like to see other funding sources tapped into to make it a sustainable and year-round program and not just all from the city of Unalaska in 1 year. So, I mean, and... Yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Councilman Robinson. Councilman Coleman?
In addition to those comments, I would like to see the $88,000 come in that we have for the tax, excise. The tobacco excise tax that we implemented. When we did that, I really wanted that money to not just go to general fund. It was a big proponent that goes to any kind of cessation program. I mean, it really, but there has not, and we don't, I think maybe that we haven't really looked at a process for which a particular group wants to apply for that or how to do that. So we've got that money. I think it needs to be spent. I think APIA could very well fill that role and with their program or, the clinic. It doesn't matter. Either one of them, they provide the other, ordinance right. Requirement at that medical If you don't include that, somebody, lots of people are going to get cut. So I think we have an avenue, another revenue source here that does qualify and can be added to this. And when you add that, it will be able to make a lot of the groups whole with their request. I would like to see that included with the calculations. So I have... Mayor, to you, Kauf, I'd like to know how you'd like to proceed. Should we do motion one group at a time? I believe we did that last time, or would you like a full list?
One at a time, or what's it? Yeah. Well, it's else who wanted to go through the list?
Should we hear from all the council people first?
Maybe we can hear from the other council members before we start going down that list.
I was going to do that, but I was asking. Councilman Nicholson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm in agreement with the funding and stuff that we have. Q-Tribe, I definitely want to see them get the monies that they need to start up, that they can go full-time. And but one of the things, like Mr. Robinson said, we may be able to get funding and contributions and getting some of the companies to put forth a little bit of money to that. And I'd like to see if we can help that out as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Nicholson. Councilman Dungal?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I agree on that. I agree on the Fisherman Memorial, that one time taking it out of general fund. And I kind of agree with Councilman Coleman about using the tax, tobacco tax, and it's a purpose for the clinic, pretty much. I know there's no program going on yet, but we've got more coming. That's just how many quarters is the amount that we accumulated on that?
It's first quarter.
It's just a first quarter, right? So we got three more quarters. We get them in four times a year, so we're going to be going to have quite a bit of money for the program if they ever put one together to be able to use that. But I think with the clinic, if we can have it up with the clinic or the APIA and take some money out of them and put those in there, we'll be able to up and give pretty much UBV and up the Q-Tribe some. So I'll be willing to do that, in my opinion. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Councilman Tungo. Councilman Bell?
Yeah, I'm going to, let me address it. We've talked about the tobacco tax here a couple times, and the tax set aside for smoking cessation. I believe that I'm going to argue that that money needs to stay where it's at this point. In all these applications, no one has submitted an application saying that they're starting a cessation program, and those monies were set aside particularly for those type of programs. So until that program, someone has a program and an ask for that, I don't believe we should be adding it in with the rest of the community grant. I'm in favor of making the $1.226 million a cap and staying under that amount. The Q-Tribe, I'm in support of supporting them at the $24,000 or $25,000 that me and Mr. Councilman Robinson have suggested. The tribe has other sources of grant opportunities that many of these other entities don't. So it's not like they're left completely out, high and dry. And at this point, we know that the clinic is not in dire need of money. They're financially on stable ground right now. So that $180,000 is not necessarily an urgent need. And then as far as Fisherman's Memorial, I'd agree. It gives us a little more latitude. If we take that out and just do it as a one-time general fund disbursement, I would be in agreement with that. Thank you.
Thanks, Councilman Bell. Councilman Luby.
Yeah, I agree with the Fisherman's Fund that needs to be taken out of the budget process or out of the grant process and just do a one-time from the general fund. That one I agree on for sure. As far as the Q-Tribe goes, I'm, 100% in support of, the programs that they're providing in the camp. And I think it's great that they want to expand it to an all-year, an all-year program. I think it's, you know, it's important. It gives, you know, the kids, they love that program, and it would be great for them to be able to participate throughout the rest of the year. And so the only, you know, the problems I have with the way the grant was written is, you know, and Sherry, or, you know, Councilman Coleman had brought this up last year with these huge amount of miscellaneous expenses, and they did it again this year with this, you know, $76,000 in miscellaneous expense fundraising overhead. So, you know, I would strongly suggest that maybe next year that, you know, they detail out their budget a little bit better and not group large amounts in there, because that just throws red flags to everybody. But I'm in support of funding them, but I don't think that, you know, we have the funds right now to fully support them, but I think we should support them, you know, anywhere between the 25, 35, whatever we can come up with for sure. And as far as the tobacco tax goes, I think that APIA does have programs already in place, I believe, for the tobacco cessation. And at least I see their advertisements on the radio and stuff for that. So I would, you know, tend to believe that that could, you know, that's an avenue that we could use, and it would still follow the code. I think that would be fine. And so with that, I think that, you know, everybody else should be able to be fully funded, no problem at all, and not be, you know, not have a problem going over budget. So as far as the clinic goes, I kind of was wondering why they, you know, they said they had 134, that they saw 134 patients, but they're estimating 400 for next year. So I'm not sure why that increase was, you know, why there's such an increase there. But anyway, I'll just kind of, I guess, hear what everybody else has to say here as well. And but those are kind of my thoughts. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Luby. I'll hold my comments till after I hear the groups out here that are waiting patiently to address the council. Huh? Oh, Councilman Robinson?
Yeah, I want to address the tobacco tax. You know, just like our bed tax, yes, it goes in the general fund, but there is a running number that just because we have it, don't need to spend it. And I would hate to get to allocate this to the clinic or to APIA in hopes that they can put together a tobacco cessation program specifically for Unalaska, and have that $88,000 not enough. And because I have to agree with Councilmember Bell, is they haven't had that. It's not in the plan yet. So to put this money out there and say, hey, formulate a plan, I want to see a plan that works. And we know what that amount's going to be, you know, that we have the $88,000 as, you know, to date, first quarter. Yes, it's going to be more year end, on the fiscal year end. And by next fiscal year, we add whatever that amount is from this fiscal year to that fiscal year, and that is the money that we can utilize for that tobacco cessation program. But to not have to try to throw money at something that's not planned out yet, I don't think is a good way to spend money or to allocate it. So I would have to speak against that. Thanks.
Thank you, Councilman Robinson. I'll hold my comments on that one, too. Anyone else?
Mr. Mayor, could, I've asked for the members of council, for your recollection, I've asked the clerk to pull up Ordinance 2021, 2021-02, and if you look at Part B, just to remember the revenue generated by the tax levied under this chapter is dedicated to the City of Onalaska Community Support Grant Program for the benefit of public health programs or tobacco education and cessation programs in Onalaska. So you all did put that option in there, just not just for cessation programs.
No, I take that back then.
All right. Okay, pull that down. Thank you.
See. At this time, we're at the council discussion. Any further discussion before we move on to the public comment? Okay, we'll move on to public comment. Has anyone signed up to provide public comment? Anybody in chambers?
Council, thank you for tonight. Just wanted to, hopefully we got this issue with the nonprofit status for the tribe cleared up. Vince, he asked me on April 13th to clarify with Margie the status, and I went on the IRS website. I put two attachments on that email. I sent it back to Margie and Vince. I did attach that email to your guys today, Eskerlin, to include it in your packet for tonight so that you would understand. We really need to clear this up. It's pretty obvious that the tribe is not a taxable entity. And so if you guys read the IRS regulation, it's going to be clear. I just want to make sure you guys understand that. The tribe doesn't pay taxes. We don't pay taxes on grants. So hope you understand that and that's cleared up. As far as being a nonprofit entity, anybody could start a nonprofit entity. The City of Onalaska, you guys could start your own if you wanted, I guess. The tribe could start a nonprofit. We could also start a for-profit entity. So there is a lot of flexibility that tribes have. But for tonight, I really hope that that issue is cleared up, and at least in the future, that it's not a stumbling block for a grant application. I mean, we have 40, 50 grants that we go after. None of them ask us to prove that we're a nonprofit or try to sign up to become a nonprofit just to receive funding. And yes, we do provide tax information for folks who make donations to the tribe so they can get that credit for any of their tax expenses that they put towards the camp so they can get that credit for their taxes. So I hope that's clear. And again, I thank you guys for your consideration tonight. There's one thing I would like to say that we have been actively pursuing grants since this application was due. I think it was February. I think, and Fisha might have the totals, we've fundraised in probably $60,000 at least. Since then, in the last couple of months, so we've been able to continue to raise those funds, which is something we do year-round. And the main thing I wanted to point out about this year's increase was that we wanted to create a year-round program for the community. And so now you guys know what it's going to cost. You know, I mentioned it to Roger at PCR, or even at the school. If you guys were going to run a culture program and you had to have staff and you were going to run camp, this is what it's going to cost, so you guys can see that. As far as miscellaneous costs, you know, our indirect costs are allowable federal costs that we use. It's our overhead costs, and our finances are audited, so it's not like there's any secrecy around our indirect or miscellaneous costs. All those are auditable, and they're clearly identifiable in the audits. So thank you guys for your time tonight. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you.
I'll speak again.
3 minutes.
Okay.
Maybe 2.5.
And Fisha Tudikoff here. So some of the programs that we have going on, we are starting to open up these programs into a year round. So we have another grant that is giving us the opportunity to provide these craft nights on a twice a week basis. We have up to 20 people coming in on a nightly basis to share our crafts with and this is just the beginning. And unfortunately, that grant will run out, and we need to overlap and continue moving this on. I'm going to ask you all to come and check it out. Right now, we have a headdress class going on. This was a grant that we had went after and received and are able to do this week-long headdress class with Shirley Ann Shapnikoff. And we have 26 people signed up for that class right now. And they're all working on stuff right now at the tribe. We have a potluck coming up on Saturday from 5 to 7 where we will show off our items. And then we are going after other other grants. So we have a list of about, right now we have a confirmed about 12 to 15 donations coming in from different entities at various levels, and we thank them for their funding that they're giving us for Camp Kanayu. And we will continue to move after these other grants. And years prior, they only worked on doing Camp Kanayu as an individual, one time a year process for 1 week. Now we're trying to extend that and offer this opportunity to the rest of the individuals that are not able to go, because those programs are 4th to 12th grade. We welcome everybody to come, not just our tribal members. Everybody in the community can come and hang out. You don't even have to make nothing. Just come and hang out. Have fun.
Hey, thank you. And Fisha? Public comment? None, huh? All right, no further public comment. Questions from the council? Oh, Councilman Bell.
Yeah, I just wanted to address one more time my supporting the Q Tribe at $24,000. Some years ago, the whole question of the 501c3 was brought up. And at that time, looking at what the IRS says, and please, I'm not an expert on this, but what was determined at that time is that the Q Camp program, or as an entity separate from the tribe, fit a description loosely of a 501c3, and not necessarily them needing to apply for that status. And I believe that's why that dollar amount has stayed in there, and that that grant has been awarded year after year. With the questions that have been brought up, I believe it's probably prudent to look at that again going forward and see if that status matches with what the grant program rules and process are. But I would still support it at that $25,000 amount. Thank you.
Councilman Robinson.
So to tag on with Mr. Bell is saying, the rules that the city of Unalaska has, the ordinance that we wrote, requires the entity to be a 501c3. We're not a taxing institution. We don't tax the tribe. I appreciate the memo, but that deals with income tax from the IRS. To change, so we're faced, if we fund the tribe not being a 501c3, what we need to do is one of two things. We need to either require them to become a 501c3, which doesn't cost them any money. It's a one-time deal, just a reporting thing for them. Or we need to change our ordinance, and I am not willing to change the ordinance to open it up to everybody, because that's essentially what it will do. Is if we change our ordinance to drop the 501c3 requirement, then the door's open, and I'm not willing to do that. So that's why I think that we need to. I mean, and I support. At this point, with the $88,000 in there, we could give that to the clinic, and we can and. We can bring up the amount that is up. Basically everybody will get funded, and then the tribe can be funded at $35,000. So at this point, and we will still be under what our cap is. So our available money. So that's what I'm looking at.
Under the 501c3 program, and I'm pretty sure that they are, since the Internal Revenue Service determines whether that entity is a taxable entity or not, by their decision and what you receive, the Internal Revenue Service has said they are not taxable. That in itself makes it a 501c3.
No, it doesn't. An application at 501c3 takes a specific application.
I was asking that question, and I'm making a point because you're making two different issues into this whole process. Councilman Coleman?
So, everybody can see I left the Key Tribe blank there. So I do want to address that. And because it was, you know, pending discussion here, I feel like they're not under light of what has we've discussed here. Don't really meet the requirements of our policy as we've set forth. I think it's really important that we as council follow our policy as we. So, you know, that being said, that would be a blank. But that's not where I'm at. We obviously have mostly $24,000 throughout the years because for the camp. And so at this late state game, I don't want to, we've already set that precedent. I don't want to leave them without something here tonight. But I think I'm going to be very clear about going forward about what's going to be required. Either we need to change our policy or we need to expect, you know, something different in the application for future. So that being said, if you include the $88,000, that does leave, according to my math, $35,152 outstanding that would be available. And my $250,000. I mean, for Fisherman's Memorial, I threw it in there. I thought that's what the problem. We could always, I don't know how you want to do that. I'm in support of it. Obviously, it would be in addition to where we're at. So if you guys, you know, I'm going to address that differently, that's fine. But if you can fully fund everyone, the Camp Q can get $35,152. And that would meet the total of $1,314,422. So that's with the 3.5%, the bed tax, and the tobacco tax. So that's what I would like to see tonight in my proposal.
Thanks, Councilman Coleman.
I'll make a motion if anybody's
Councilman
ready.
Councilman Luby, let me find out what she said. Councilman Luby.
Yeah, I'm totally in support of what Councilman Coleman had just said. I believe that will work, so I will support that one.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Nicholson.
I'm in support of giving the Q Tribe the monies that, you know, about $35,000 to $50,000. That's something that $250,000 at this time is not something.
Thank you. Councilman Bell?
Yeah, no, any questions?
Okay, thank you. Councilman Tungle?
So, with a 3.5% addition for 2023, what does it put us on the cap? What numbers are we getting?
I'm sorry?
So with a 3.5% addition to that 2022 cap that we have, where are we on the numbers? If we had 3.5% from last year's...
So if we want to add 3.5% to the cap from last year?
Yeah.
it'd be $1,269,346. So you're adding about 40,000 to it. Just under 40,000. When you add the excise tax in, you're at 1,314,422. And if you move the funds around, like you said, if you move the 200, Karen, if you take the 250,000 out of the column for FY23, down there on 15, J15, the 250, over right there, just delete that. We're going to fund that separate. And then what was the amount you wanted to fund the Q-Tribe? 35,128. Put that number in there. Go ahead. Enter. You're at 1,314,398, which is 1,314,422. You're actually just a few bucks under. Try 35,152 for the win. 1,314,422. That's the exact number with the 88,000 and on top of the bed tax and the 3.5%.
I will be willing to support that.
All right, I'll make a motion to fund APIA, the Aleutian Family Health Services, the Museum of the Aleutians, KUCB, Unalaska Senior Citizens, the Unalaska Visitors Bureau, USAFE, and ASFA Unalaska Chapter for the amounts that requested, and to fund the Q Tribe at the amount of $35,152. And yeah, I'll leave it at that. It's a motion.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson to fund all nonprofits applying at the regular or requested amount, except the Q Tribe for additional for an amount of only $35,152, and seconded by Councilman Coleman. No further discussion. Councilman Robinson?
Yes, so I made that motion specifically leaving out Rusting Man, because I think that should be a one-time grant from the general fund. And maybe we can have a resolution at that effect at the next meeting. So that's all.
Thank you. Anyone else? Councilman Luby, comment on the motion?
No comments. I'm in support of that motion.
Okay, thank you. Roll call vote. Well, Councilman Bell, excuse me.
Yeah, just real quick, I'm not in support of the motion. Adding the tobacco tax in there defeats the whole spirit and purpose of setting aside that fund. If we're just going to use it for any medical purpose, then we should open it up for that. And thank you.
Okay. Comments? Councilman Coleman, I'm here. Give up the cigarette tax.
I'm going to hold my comment.
All right, thank you. I'll call for Council. City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir.
Okay. Anyone on phones, Zoom? Okay, thank you. I'll restate the motion. Motion is to fund establishing the sums to be made available for community support and capital grants from City of Unalaska to the applicants for community support of fiscal year 2022 with numbers to be supported by, that were submitted, except for the Q Tribe camp. All right, roll call, please.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
No.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Okay, on a vote of 5-1, 5 yes and 1 no, Resolution 2022-14 passes. Resolution 2022-15.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead.
I just had a question. In the resolution, should we also amend that to
we should have
add
yes.
tobacco tax to the resolution? As far as for the language.
Okay, we'll go back. I thought that when Councilman Robinson was reading these numbers off, totaling one, and we came up with a total of 1,314,422, that's what we're voting for at the same time.
Yes, yeah, okay.
That was my understanding. Then I actually read it into the motion.
Okay, yes, that was.
So, what does council want to do with the want to remotion that make
the amendment? Yeah, the resolution didn't have the bed tax in there. I mean the tobacco tax in there. It addressed the bed tax and what was available for community support, but not the amount for that. So I think we should have what we should have done was amended the motion to add the 88,000 in there before we finalize that one.
I'll call for order and ask the motion to be made to include the tobacco tax.
I'll make that motion to include the $88,000 tobacco tax in the resolution 2022-14.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson, second by Councilman Nicholson. Discussion, and that is to fulfill the amount you were asking about.
Yeah, the amount wasn't the question. It was the language where in the whereas it just has 3.5% from the general fund and bed tax, and did not include the tobacco tax as referenced in the resolution itself. As far as the final number, I'm clear as what the final number is.
Councilman Coleman.
So this is amendment, right? Councilman Robinson's motion should have been an amended motion, correct? As a point of order.
It's to amend 2022-14,
okay,
the
so
resolution.
Okay, so coming back to the main motion.
Right, to include the tobacco tax with the amount of $1,314,422 in the blank.
Okay, we're on amended on the resolution.
I have one prepared if you want me to read that paragraph in. Is that what you'd like to do? Are we fixing that third whereas or what the issue is? So it says, the second whereas from the bottom, whereas the target funding level for fiscal year 2023 community support based on 3.5% of the average revenue for the general fund for the five most recently completed fiscal years, plus 88,000 from the funds available from the excise tax, plus the bed tax amount for the most recently completed fiscal year is, and I didn't actually put the number in, but it's the $1,314,422. So that should match your motion.
So if we have done this right, then we would be voting on the amendment and then to then a final vote on the amended 2022-14.
We are voting on the amendment this time to amend resolution 2022-14. Okay, roll call on the amendment.
Yes, Mayor. Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
No.
Okay, on a roll call vote of five yes and one no, the amendment to resolution 2022-4 passes. We are now on the main motion, resolution 2022-14 as amended. Councilman.
Yes. I move to amend resolution 2022-14 to include the Fisherman's Memorial for $250,000. I have a second.
Second.
This is to include $250,000 for Fisherman's Memorial. No, to add.
You're adding it to the $250,000. You're adding it to the grant program.
To our contribution, yes.
That has to be a separate action.
We have the ability. If I can speak to my motion,
yeah,
that's
ahead.
Okay. Council has authority to exceed the cap is a goal. It doesn't mean you have to be there. You could be less. You could be more. And we've done it before. I think this is the place for this. I know we've done it like with the church with their one-time things. We've exceeded it because they've had for capital improvements kind of a thing. I think this is the avenue and the place to do this. We asked them to go through this process. We do have the, authority to increase this. And like I said, this is a one-time thing. It doesn't mean it's going to be, next time, you were already at that, so you're going to go forward. So I don't know if that's what I feel this should be here instead of doing a separate resolution.
Yeah, I've got Jim Sharp is on the phone and wants to make a comment regarding this particular issue, I believe. So go ahead, Jim.
Thanks. And I'm a little bit late on this, but in terms of tobacco tax, that is a special set aside money. It's its own fund, similar to how we account for sales, the 1% sales tax and the bed tax. And I think whether we include it in the motion or whether we just provide some guidance, we need to know which of those community agencies will be receiving that $88,000, whether it's APIA or IFHS. I just wanted to make that clear as you're going through and amending the different motions.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Tungle, then Robinson.
Okay. So the motion you made, I kind of did not hear it. Is that says it's taking it out of the general fund one time only to be added to the grant? Is that the motion that we?
Well, all of this money comes out of the general fund. I mean, that's where it is. It's just how it's appropriated, and that's what we call it. So it's not going to be separate. It's going to be all encompassing. I probably should include the total amount in my motion so that too would be cleared. So it's been proposed that it be totally separate. I think this is where it should be.
Councilman Robinson?
To answer Jim's question is, my intent was to have that, to be able to add that in to public health. So those would be split evenly, $44,000 a piece to APIA and to the clinic here, IFHS. So that's to answer that. That was the intent. Sorry, we didn't make that clear in the motion. As far as what Sherry's motion is proposing, and this would be a question for Jim, is what difference would it make whether we made a separate resolution or put it in this grant funding? Is there any accounting benefit or anything to that effect?
No, it really makes, from an accounting standpoint, it doesn't make a great deal of difference. I know some of the different issues that have been discussed would be to keep it as part of this grant program. We do present that a bit separately on the monthly financials. So that was one option. The other option was it would be a special set aside out of a contingency fund out of the mayor and council budget. So there are two different ways to do it, and if you want to show it separate with all of the other community grants and that support, I would suggest putting it there. But if that doesn't necessarily matter, I suggest putting it in the mayor and council budget. But that will then skew your operating costs in any, you know, from FY23, and it will make them not as comparable to prior years or future years.
So we could take it out of the general fund instead, right?
Well, it's going to come out of the general fund. It's just a matter of what departmental budget it comes from. So, I mean, the mayor and council has their own budget, and we have this other separate portion of the budget specifically related to community support, where all of the other general fund type contributions are made from. It does not include, well, I don't want to confuse things, but it does not include the bed tax or the tobacco tax. Those are accounted for and recorded separately.
Thank you. So, I mean, because the reason I asked that is we're giving $250,000 to a memorial fund, and I'd like to make the loudest voice possible. And to me, showing a separate resolution granting that amount of money rings our bell for us. And that'd be the only reason. So, I mean, either way about it, I don't have a whole lot of heartburn, but I would prefer to have a separate resolution so we could ring our bell, basically, saying, hey, look, City of Onalaska, we did $250,000, and it's not hidden in the community grant program. So that's all I'd be. So I'm probably going to vote no on the amendment.
Okay. Then the motion is to second amendment to take out of the and pay for the $250,000 for the Rusty Man Memorial for the grant program, right,
increasing the total value to
$1,000,000.
I want to make sure that's in there, so we don't have to come back to that.
$1,526,740.
Oh, $13 million. Woo! I should have had it. I don't. All right. Increasing the total community grant funding to $1,564,422. Thank you.
Okay, it brings the total to $1,564,422 as to the total community grant awards if this amendment passes. So, if none. Roll call on amendment number 2.
Mr. Bell?
No.
Mr. Nicholson?
No.
Mr. Tungo?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
No.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
I vote, and the mayor votes no.
Mr. Mayor, point of order. We've already approved motion resolution 2022-14. In order to go back to this, I believe what we need is a motion to reconsider, which puts us back to debate on the original motion as it was presented.
Councilman Robinson. Yeah,
we're getting off in the weeds here. And
can I speak to that? So we brought motion 2022-14 to the floor. And then we amended it to put the amounts in there, and we voted on that. The resolution 2022-14 was still open on the floor. We made the second amendment to it to add the language in there. And then Ms. Coleman made the third amendment to it, which just failed. So now we're back to the point where we vote on 2022-14 as amended.
Incorrect, but I'll withdraw my objection.
All right. Take a breath. We're on the right track. We're back to amended motion with the figure of one.
So can I just to clarify where you're at?
Yeah.
So I believe.
Give us the right number.
I believe what you've done thus far is to move approval of. Where is the, I thought we had a sheet with the numbers on it. No? That you moved approval for everything, and we at that point we had the Fisherman's Memorial taken out, and at that time you were going to fund it at the next meeting with a separate resolution. So that would be the number up there on the screen, the $1,314,422 for all of the agencies listed for Fisherman's Memorial. And then we can bring back the Fisherman's Memorial at the next meeting with a separate resolution. They're both, I think they're all out of country right now anyway. It's not like, if this would be starting FY23 anyway, so it's not that big a hurry. We can sort it out rather than have seven of you up here trying to do math at the same time as us. All right. So I believe that's your motion to approve the $1,314,422 as listed.
Correct.
In it.
That's where we are. We amended it twice. Now we're going to a final vote on resolution.
Yes.
As amended, 2022-13. 2022-14, excuse me. Grants, capital grants to the City of Onalaska. Applicants for a community support grant for fiscal year 2022 in the amount, total amount, of 1374422.
1314.
What?
1,314,422.
Yeah. 14. Okay.
Yes.
I said 7. 1,314,422. Okay. All right. Roll call, please, on the amendment. Resolution.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
No.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
On a roll call vote of 5 yes and 1 no, the resolution 2022-14 as amended has passed. right, we're going to take a 5-minute break, then we'll head to capital major maintenance plan. That'd be fun.
You are muted.
We're back in order at this time. At, 7 minutes to 8. Resolution 2022-15, adopting the FY23 to FY32 capital and major maintenance plan. May I have a motion and a second to adopt the resolution 2022-15?
I move to adopt resolution 2022-15.
Second.
Adopting the FY32 capital and major maintenance plan.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle, second by Councilman Nicholson. I'll turn this over to the acting city manager for council discussion.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. The city council reviews the capital and major maintenance plan every year, and this is the third and final draft of the FY23-32. Am I in the wrong one?
No, sorry. You're fine.
Okay. No, I think I was on the. Was it dash 15 we're working on? Okay. Okay. Sorry about that. Okay. Okay. I got kind of mixed up on the order here. So, all right. Yeah. And this is the third and final draft of the FY23-32 CMMP. And I have Director Bill Hopka is here to discuss with you also if you have any questions.
So you'll have more in the excise tax next year because you're driving me to smoke. Yeah. Would you all like me to go through the whole plan again, or do you have specific questions?
Waiting for the mayor.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Bill.
Getting that. Well, I can present this plan again. I think you guys, do you need it? I don't want to put you through a burden and a hardship if you all pretty should have seen it numerous times, but I'm happy to go through it.
Major changes in there, then we'd see them or you'd tell us. So, is there any questions from the council on this? Councilman Bill?
Yeah, I was just trying to look back through here, the PCR, Parks and Recreation Study. Wasn't that $100,000 on the last version?
It was $100,000. I did mention that we had tried to put $150,000, but it missed the list. So.
Okay. And then the other concerns I have or things I'm looking at here is not doing the that study that I just previously said, moving the water pump or the water storage tank project back a year, and moving the UMC restroom project up to this year. And then the other thing that I put a question mark here about, and we had talked before about the rolling stock and only having a budget of $400,000 this year, but a $1.8 million budget next year. And if this doesn't get approved, I think this gives us some time to go back through and take another, or the staff to take another look at it. And the reason why I'm saying that is, first of all, there was two pieces of equipment on there that never got quoted, never got any prices or anything closer. So I'm not sure if those dollar amounts are accurate dollar amounts. But what I'm understanding is that even on the purchase of new vehicles right now, that many of those vehicles are being delivered incomplete and having to go back to dealers and have parts installed or stuff like that, which obviously would be a big expense to do that from here, is taking a second look at that. And maybe there's equipment that is scheduled for replacement next year that may not have that problem. I don't know if the heavy equipment industry is any better than the automotive industry in getting complete pieces of equipment out, but it might be worth taking a second look and going, hey, you know, we've got this money allocated, but we can't even get these vehicles this year. So those were my comments on that. Thank you.
I thank you. Believe Tom is on the phone if he wants to address any of those. Just to be clear, I do like to direct all the questions and comments about rolling stock and our facilities maintenance plan to Tom. And just for the record, what we wound up doing is including those as line items in our plan, but then they kind of, if you click on it, it shells out into their own plans. So at least we have a holistic view on that large spreadsheet. In the total dollar, you can see what's where, but there are two plans in themselves, really, that add to our CMMP. So, and Tom, if you're available, would you like to comment on Mr. Bell's comment?
Mayor and City Council, this is Director Kohnauer. And again, I apologize, the system audio seems to be cutting in and out. My understanding, and correct me if I'm incorrect, but Mr. Bell's question was about the dollar amounts not being sufficient to cover the ultimate what the purchase price might be. Is that correct?
No, it was more along the lines of, I did mention the two pieces of equipment, the service truck and the forklift, that have yet had not gotten a firmer dollar amount on what those are going to cost. But looking at the rolling stock plan as a whole, and the fact that we're only going to budget $400,000 for replacements this year and $1.8 million next year, and the availability of equipment, would it be prudent to look and see what that availability of equipment is and maybe shuffle around what equipment we're going to buy in what year?
Yeah, we certainly could do that. And I would like to emphasize that I was told by city management to keep the budget as low as possible this year, which I complied with. And in discussions with our chief maintenance mechanic, Joel Shy, we came up with a game plan to only replace the vehicles that are absolutely necessary to replace. And so that's why the budget is around in excess of $400,000. Typically, if you look back previous years, I've tried to keep it around $1.4 million. And so then my keeping it only at around $400,000 this year to replace just the absolute necessary ones. Yes, it is a little bit higher next year, but if you look ahead the next few years, we tried to even it out so it's a predictable amount. There's not any wide fluctuations in the years going forward. But to answer your question, we could look at the different pieces of equipment that we have and work within the budget that would be allocated by council this year to see which piece of equipment we could get by with for one more year and shuffle them around a little bit.
Thank you. The rolling stock was really a sidebar to what my original point was on some of these projects that I think they need to be moved around or could be moved around. And as this is presented, I cannot support the CMMP. Thank you.
Councilman Coleman.
So the equipment shack, for better words, is not the cover, whatever, out at Public Works, got moved up by request of council I was not part of that discussion at the time, and I am actually now questioning it even more because as you're looking at the paint booth and body shop, one of the suggestions is it's going to be in an add-on to that particular building. And so I'm wondering how fortuitous it is that we are going to plan a building and then maybe add on to it later. It doesn't sound very cost-effective to me that would be, so we're going to move this building up. It doesn't make sense to me that it is so urgent to move it up a year when you don't even have plans for the paint shop as addition to it. And so, again, I kind of go back to the planning and how that really doesn't make sense to me. And unless it's already been decided that it's going to be part of the wash bay or whatever the other option was. But, I mean, you just took one option off the table by moving up the shed cover. So that's one. I don't know, Mr. Kona, I don't know if that was really a question, but do you have anything to comment to that? Would you like to have anything to comment to that?
Yes, I do, Mayor and Council, but to address Councilmember Coleman's comment. So right now, what we utilize the wash bay for is, in addition to washing vehicles, we use the wash bay to paint vehicles. We have a very experienced body man on staff, and he shares experience and expertise with some of the others, and so we're able to paint vehicles. I've been amazed at how they've taken some of these vehicles down to the, just the frame and fixed the body parts, and especially during this last storm, they managed to fix the vehicles, and so they look like new. But we've been using the wash bay as a body shop, and it's just, it's a terrible situation. But kind of getting more to your point, the equipment storage building is really going to prolong the life of the equipment. And certainly, if council proceeds with this, the design work is slated for FY23, and so we would look at incorporating the spray booth within the equipment storage building.
Okay. I just, it got moved up a year, and it doesn't seem to jive with the actual paint body shop project either, when that hadn't even really been decided. So, and where that location is going to be, or if it's going to be continued to be funded. So, it would make more sense that those were in the same year. The other comment I have is going back to Captain Fay. I cannot support the structure the way it is right now, based on the CBA and our general fund expenditures. I want to see more need, the project need, a better design on that, and the fact that you can be able to get the funding for it for the very extensive plan that has been presented. So for this fiscal year, I do not support allocations to that project.
Okay, thank you. Any further comment, Councilman Luby? On. Any comments from other councilmen regarding this resolution 2022-15? Councilman Robinson?
I'd be opposed to removing the Captain's Bay Road project. One of the arguments we make when we go to Juneau and D.C. in applying for this money and asking them for that is showing them actually that we have
skin in the game. We have money backing our request. And by pulling this out, I think it would might have an effect that, what did you do that for? So you told us you put the money there, you got money backing this, and now you removed it. So I wouldn't support doing that. Just because the money is there, it doesn't mean it needs to be spent, but it's there in the event that it needs to get spent. So but I am a little disappointed in the amount of work that went into the rolling stock, the two items that Mr. Bell brought up that weren't accurate quotes. They're just figures that were pulled out of the sky. So I think I will support this as presented at this point.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Tungo?
I mentioned on the last meeting too about the budget for the 400,000 on the rolling stock and about 1.8 next year. I sure want to see a couple items in there that to be added that might be really needed for next year. We might not be able to afford anything much next year. I think we're doing good this year to be able to afford a little bit more on that budget. More than 400,000, instead of doing 1,800,000 next budget, why not move some of those ahead if we can, so we might not be able to afford much next year. The revenue brings by next year, but I think we're still doing good this year. So I was hoping they up that up a little bit more and. Find other equipment or that's really needed for next year to add it up this year. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Councilman Tungo. Councilman Nicholson?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm in support of this resolution, and I am in full support of anything that we can do to keep moving forward with the Captain's Bay project, the road. We have a lot of businesses down that road. All the equipment's being ruined. A lot of product is ruined. The road's been this way since, I've been coming up here for 35 years, and we still produce and move a lot of product up and down that road that is being maintained as well as we can, but I'd like to see it paved and the utilities and everything done. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Nicholson. Councilman Luby?
Oh, yep. Excuse me. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, sorry. Yeah, I think you guys are cutting out. It's like Tom was saying, it's not a very good connection on the phone. Sorry about that. I agree with what Councilman Bell said with the vehicles. That's going to be, tough to get that stuff. Everybody's having problems with a lot of supply chain issues. And so I do agree that might be an issue. And, seeing the forklift at $80,000, that's pretty high. Although, I know you don't have to spend it if it's there, so, that's a good thing. I know we need to do the maintenance. Those are always an issue. I do think that we need to move forward with Captain's Bay just because of the grant funding, and, we do need to show that we, we do have some money, and we want this, and we're willing to support that. And that has been, one of our priorities that we listed. So I think we do need to include that. I don't necessarily, think that we need the water tank. I kind of agree with Councilman Bell on that one as well. So I guess I'm a little bit undecided on which way to go as presented with this. I'm still a little bit disappointed in the rolling stock as far as you know, we didn't really, nobody really looked at what would a carpool do. And, you know, we did get the numbers of how many vehicles are in each department and everything. So I thought that was great. And thank you, Tom, for providing that. I appreciate that. Anyway, I'll hold on here a little bit. I'm kind of undecided on which way to go here, but I have a couple issues, but most of it I agree with. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. There'll be any further comments from council? Councilman Robinson?
Yes, thank you. The water tank, we do need it. And I'm saying that because we depend on snowpack for our water. It's going to be a bit longer before we get Captain's Bay Road utilities in. And this, moving ahead with a plan for this water tank is something that what we can do with that is capture more of the water that's just flowing into the bay and to be able to utilize it for when rainfall and snowfall is minimal. So it'll carry us through. We've been lucky to not have to ration water as we did in the 90s. So this is something I do agree we need simply, if for any other reason, is to protect the investment we have in the current water tank right now. We need to drain that one completely and do some maintenance on it. And without another water tank, we can't do that. So I think that water tank needs to move forward.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Bell?
Yeah, I'll speak on that one, and I was going to speak on the Parks and Rec study also. I just, the whole concept behind the water tank, I get that, but if we commit the $600,000 we're looking at this year, which I assume is engineering and design, it pretty much is committing us to that project. Otherwise, we're just throwing money out the window. So that looks at it. That we're looking at an $8 million project the following fiscal year. And we're basically committing to that project now. The utility improvements on Captain's Bay Road will give us another 1 million gallons of storage, usable storage, fixing that water, fixing how that flows. And then looking at the packet and what has been presented as far as the PCR, the REC study, I'm just not sold on the benefit $150,000 is going to get on that. I'd rather see that go to library or wages or something else. So those are really my own comments on that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Coleman? No. Councilman Tungle? Councilman Nicholson? Councilman Ruby?
No other comment.
Okay, thank you. All right, City Clerk, is anyone signed up to provide public comment on 2022-15?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. I'll restate the motion to approve Resolution 2022-15, adopting the FY23-FY32 capital budget and major maintenance plan. I'll ask for a roll call vote, please.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
No.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
No.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
A roll call vote of 4 yes and 2 no. Resolution 2022-15 has been adopted. Resolution 2022-16, establishing the sum to be made available from the City of Unalaska to the City of Unalaska City School District for fiscal year 2023. May I have a motion and a second to adopt the resolution 2022-16.
Move to adopt resolution 22-16.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, second by Councilman Robinson. I'll turn this over to the acting city manager.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. The Unalaska City Code states that the school board shall submit the school budget to the city council by April 1st each year. Within 30 days after receipt of the budget, the city council must decide on the total to be made available from local sources for school purposes and provide the school board notice of the amount to be made available. By submitting its budget on March 31st, 2022, the school district met the requirements of code, and through resolution 2022-16, council will establish the level at which the city will fund the school district for FY23. And I have Jim on the line if you have any questions.
Great, thank you. Council member, have any questions, comments on this resolution 2022-16? Councilman Robinson?
I support this fully.
Councilman Nicholson?
I'm in full support of this resolution.
Councilman Coleman?
I'm not going to be that quick. I think this is one of these times when people who make legislative decisions get to just sit back and go, here, make a good school. And you guys, do the best with what you got on the resources hand. So I'm glad that we are able to fund this fully. I encourage school staff to continue to excel because, if you can't support our young adults and our future, what's the point? Paved roads or not. We want to encourage growth and prosperity among our youth. So this is a great way to help and provide the resource for that. So I'll support it.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Luby.
Yeah, I'm in full support of this as well. And I think that the school budget committee did a really good job at trying to vet everything, and they didn't increase their expenses. Part of their problem is they're going to be losing, state funding. And so I'm in totally support of this. So the children are our future. So thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Coleman. I mean, Councilman Gooby. Councilman Nicholson.
I'm in full support.
Okay. Tungo.
I will be in full support of this. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Bell.
So as we're going through this and we're looking at this dollar amount for the school, and we're looking at community grants and the dollar amounts we're doing there, and how we went over our cap and just basically giving money away, I go back to when we started the budget process and basically setting a goal that the city stay under 3% increase. And a lot of departments did a lot of hard work to make that happen. And I think it just shows bad optics for the council to get up here and every other entity say, here, just take our money. When the staff of the city has done a admirable job, costs in line. I know I'm kind of be the dissenting voice here. My original thought was I would be glad to support the school at 3% over what last year's budget was, The previous year, you know, that we asked the city to cut expenses, and staff did a great job at doing that. And then the school came in with an 8.9% increase in their budget. And it just sends a bad message. And I've heard this from several people that, you know, hey, we cut our budget, giving everybody else, you know, whatever they want or big increases. This year it was 6.8 or whatever percentage it is increase. And so I'll just leave my comments at that. Whether I oppose or approve of this, you know, the school still wins. It's still almost $5 million that the city is putting forth for the school here. So, you know, and no one doubts that education is, you know, a bedrock of, you know, any society. So I'll leave my comments at that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Second rounders? No? Okay. Okay, City Clerk. Signed up?
Yes, Mayor. We okay. have Miss Peggy McLaughlin for the school fund.
I respect the year after year support that the Unalaska City Council gives to the school district. I also respect Mr. Bell's comments in terms of what city staff has done to keep our budgets in line. But I would really urge council wholeheartedly to fully fund this. The school has done a tremendous job with limited resources, and coming out of COVID, our kids are struggling and they need some of these social programs and art programs to kind of get this back on track. I really think that the funding request is appropriate, and I fully support this as a parent. And my children are in mixed bags of whether they are enrolled at the school or not for various reasons, but our school needs this, and our education system, our local education system, needs this funding.
Okay, thank you. Do we have anyone else signed up to speak? Thank you. I'll restate the motion. We move resolution 2216, establishing the sum to be made available from the City of Unalaska to the Unalaska City School District for the fiscal year 2023. The resolution, is it, does it have a number? I mean, the amount.
It's $3,000,000.
Make sure it's in there this time before we run around in circles. Okay. All right. So, right here, 2.9. Okay. 3994910. Okay. I'll call for a roll call vote.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
On a roll call vote of 6-0 in favor of resolution 2022-16, establishing the sum for the Unalaska City School District for fiscal year 2023 has been approved. Okay, thank you. Well, here's the fun part. Pack your bags. Travel approval for the mayor and council. The first one is the Alaska Sustainable Energy Conference in Anchorage on May 24th to the 26th. This time I've only heard from Councilman Darren. Councilman Dickelson for that meeting. Anyone else interested?
I will make a motion to have the mayor and up to three council members approve for this travel to the Alaska Sustainable Energy Conference.
Second.
Up two, three. Okay, moved by Councilman Robinson, seconded by Councilman Coleman. Okay.
And I am interested in attending that.
So, Dennis and Councilman Nicholson. Anyone else? And I will say that I will not be able to attend because I've got some dignitaries flying in on the 27th, and they'll be here through June 3rd. So I won't be able to leave the Department of Labor people and others.
I'll be with you here.
Okay. So we have Councilman Nicholson and then Vice Mayor Dennis Robinson going to that one. Okay. You have to make a motion for that? No? Okay. Next item is the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council and Sitka on June 6th, 14th.
So I made the motion to do that. We probably need to vote on that, filling in the names of Nicholson and Robinson.
Okay.
I already made the motion.
You already made it.
Just amended to put Nicholson and myself in.
Okay.
So I second that amendment.
Here we have an amendment to add names.
Yeah.
Councilman Robinson and Councilman Nicholson. Yep. And that's the amendment. And a roll call vote on the amendment.
Mr. Tungo?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Amendment to attend the Sustainable Energy Conference. One has been approved. Now the main motion authorizing Councilman Nicholson and Councilman Robinson to attend the May 24th to 26th Sustainable Energy Conference. Roll call.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Made motion authorizing two councilmen, or Councilman Robinson and Councilman Nicholson, to travel to Anchorage for the Sustainable Energy Conference, May 24th to May 26th. Has been approved. Next item is North Pacific Fisheries Management Council meeting in Sitka on June 6th to 14th. Motion to approve the
trial. I'll make a motion to approve three council members and the mayor to the June 6th through 14th North Pacific Fisheries Management Council meeting.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson and seconded by Councilman Nicholson.
I am interested in going to that one, attending that also.
Okay. Anyone else? Well, I've been talking to a couple of the people from the council recently, and they can't find a room, so I need to check it out.
I have a niece there.
Hmm. You know, stay in Mount Escom dorm?
I'll call my niece and make sure I can stay with her. Sure I can.
Just letting you know. I don't know if I'm available for that. That's what it is right now.
I'll make a motion to send Vice Mayor Robinson to the North Pacific Fisher Management Council in Sitka on June 6th through the 14th, 2022.
Moved by Councilman Tungle. Second?
Second.
Oh, you? Councilman Nicholson? Okay. We have now Vice Mayor Robinson, only attendees, so is there a motion on the, I mean, roll call on the main motion now? Because there's only one. Roll call. Travel.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Vote 6-0, authorizing Councilman Robinson to attend a meeting on North Pacific Management Council and CITCA on June 6th to the 14th, 2022. Great. Our next item is council directives to the city manager, and they need a motion and a second. Any directives? We did move that one item off our agenda to the next regular meeting. Is that correct?
No, we'll go to a special meeting.
Special meeting, the 17th. Okay. 17th, special meeting. I believe it's on the tax issue. Okay. Community input and announcement. This is a final opportunity to provide information to the council or make announcements. Anyone in chambers wish to make an announcement or change comments? None? Bill? Oh. Is there anyone on Zoom or telephone?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. Well, having completed all items on the agenda, we are now adjourned at 8:35 p.m. Good night, Unalaska.